doing word studies, especially in seeing some of the other things in the scripture, has been a rich blessing to me. And so this morning, I simply want to share with you in these few minutes one word study. One word study. And it's a word, it's actually a Hebrew word. It's a word that all of you use. You use it very regularly. In fact, I trust you use it every day. If you don't use it every day, you're in deep, deep trouble. But that little word is simply, see if that comes up. All right, it's the word amen. Amen. We use it at the end of our prayers. We see it in the scripture. And so I would say that the study of this particular word has meant more in my spiritual life perhaps than any other word other than, say, the names of God. And I've shared this, I always share it in my Old Testament survey class and in my discipleship class, but I would say that probably 98% of you haven't been in those classes. And so if you have, this will be a good review for you. I'll test you a little bit later. But I thought that this could be a blessing and could be a help. Now, the best way to find out the meaning of a word is to take your concordance, especially if it's a Hebrew-English concordance or your Greek-English concordance, and just trace how it's used. How is this word used? So if you want to turn in your Bible with me to several verses, one of the first times that this particular word, it is a Hebrew word. Now, you know, just like when we say amen, some of the stuffy people, excuse me for this, are going to say amen, but we ordinary commoners usually just say amen. Now, I know I'm going to get a little flack over that, but even we say it different ways. Now, in Greek, you literally say amen, and in Hebrew, if you say the verb, you say amen, but it's basically the same three consonants with different vowels attached to it. Now, one of the first usages we find is back in the book of Exodus. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. Here we see Moses and Aaron and Hur are up on a mountain, and Joshua is down in the valley fighting the Amalekites. And you remember the story that they had to keep his arms up in the air. And as long as his arms were up in the air, they were all right. Well, finally, they propped them up on some stones, and you'll read there in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So there's our first use of this particular word, steady. Now, in the Hebrew, it just uses the word amen, amen. Actually, it's emunah, but you don't have to fight with that. All right, the next place it's used, or not the next place, but another place where it's used is in Deuteronomy 32, and you won't look this up, but Deuteronomy 32:4, it talks about God as being a God of truth. So here, exactly the same word, here it's translated truth. I wish you would turn to the next one. It's over in Isaiah 33:6. Isaiah 33:6. It's talking about God. It's a word of encouragement to the Israelites. And here it's talking about God. And in verse 6, it says, and he, that is God, shall be the stability of your times. The stability of your times. And certainly our primary stability today is not in material things. It's not even in a free country in which we live. But it is in God. So there's translated stability. Now, another verse that we're very familiar with, in fact, we just sang it a few moments ago. Great is thy faithfulness. And here this exact same Hebrew word in Lamentations 3:23 is translated faithfulness. I'll give you maybe one more, Habakkuk 2:4. Remember we read there, the just shall live by faith. So there it's translated faith. So there are five uses of this particular word in Hebrew, the word amen. Now, not only is it used in this way, but it's also used as a verb. But before we look at that, I would just ask you, and I wish this were a class, but since it's not, I'll do all the talking, since I'm getting paid for it. Jim, where are you? You remember that. But perhaps you get a little idea of the basic meaning of this word. Actually, the root of the word, the root meaning, is something that's firm, something that's solid, something that's stable. And so we certainly see this. His arms were firm, they were solid, they were stable, the stability there. Truth is something that's firm, it's something that's reliable, dependable. Stability, God is the stability. God, we know him for his faithfulness, his dependability, his reliability. We can count on him. He's not going to fail. And then, of course, the word faith itself. Now, there's some other uses of this particular word. It's not exactly the same word, but it's a derivation of it, has the same consonants in it. In Hebrew, you have basically three consonants in all your words, and you have various derivations of it. You add maybe letters at the beginning or at the end, or you put different vowels in there, and you come up with different words. Now, in 2 Kings 18:16 is talking about the temple, and it's talking about the doorposts or the pillars that supported the building. And so actually this is another use of this word, and I think you can see there a pillar is something that ought to, that needs to be firm, that will support. And so I like to picture God, in a sense, as the pillar upon which we as Christians rest. I've learned how to draw ladies also. Took me a long time to get that, but not too good. But anyway, when we become a Christian, when we believe, in fact, the Hebrew word again for believe is amen, the verb. When we amen in Christ, then in a sense God places us upon him, and we are firmly standing upon him. And it's good to realize, and I might just put the word up here, the verb, believe. It's wonderful to realize that our safety does not depend on how much faith we have. Our safety does not depend on how much faith we have, but it depends on God's stability, God's faithfulness, God's reliability. And in a sense, there's no way that a person can come over here and fall off the edge, because how great or how far does God's faithfulness extend? You see, from everlasting to everlasting. So in a certain sense, we could put it out here like this. It extends to infinity, to infinity. God is a faithful God. And it's so good to know that in my spiritual life, that my safety rests completely upon him and not on my performance. Now let's look at one other place in the Old Testament where this word is used, and that's in Genesis 15 verse 3. There in Genesis 15:3, that verse that I'm sure all of us have learned as we have studied the Old Testament, where it says that Abraham believed God, he amened God, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, Abraham, what does the word believe mean then? It means to have a confidence in God, a confidence in God. Now, some of us have very weak faith. And the reason we have, I might just say this. If a person has weak faith, is their safety jeopardized? No, because our safety doesn't depend on how much faith we have. The only thing greater faith gives us is greater peace, greater rest. And so as we increase then, now follow me, as we increase in the knowledge of God, the more we get to know God, the greater our faith, the greater we will depend on Him, the greater we will trust in Him. Now let's move over quickly into the New Testament, because this word is also used in the New Testament. Now, actually, your New Testament word is pistuo and pistis for believe and faith. But the actual word does occur. Notice over in John 3:3, we say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, in the Greek, it simply says, "Amen, amen," and then the rest of the verse in Greek. In the Douay version of the scriptures, in the Roman Catholic version, they actually just translated it. Amen, amen, I say unto you. And here you see the word simply means something that's reliable. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, I'm giving you a statement, and it is totally reliable. It is 100% the truth. Amen, amen, I say unto you." And then turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I remember when I came across this, it was a rich blessing to me. I almost jumped up in the air and clicked my heels. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start reading at verse 17. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and they're questioning his reliability, his trustworthiness, and so forth. And he says, "Therefore I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or that which I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes and no, no at the same time?" He's saying, I wasn't saying yes, and then yes and no, and then no. "But as God is," what's the word there? "Faithful." Now kind of keep that in the back of your mind. "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us," by me and Silvanus and Timothy, "was not yes and no, but is yes." It's positive. It's affirmative. It's dependable. It's reliable. "For as many as may be the promises of God in Him, they are yes. Wherefore also by Him is our amen," amen, "to the glory of God through us." What does the word amen then mean when we say it at the end of our prayers? What does it mean when it's at the end of many of the Psalms, amen and amen? I feel that it's an affirmation of the total reliability of God. Notice verse 21. "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. But I call God as a witness to my soul that to spare you I came no more to Corinth, not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. For in your faith you are standing firm." For in your faith you are standing firm. And we have a firm foundation in our God. One other place let's look in the New Testament. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Here we see the angel is speaking to the church at Laodicea, the writer, and he says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this." Who is it that's speaking? It's the Amen. And then John gives us a definition of the word Amen, faithful and true, faithful and true. Jesus Christ is the faithful and true one. And you read it also over in, I think it's probably Revelation chapter 19, when the one comes riding on the white horse, and his name is faithful and true. Well, what are some brief applications to this? Let me just say again, this word has meant a tremendous amount to me in my own personal walk with the Lord, because it's helped me to realize that I don't have to have faith in myself, but my faith must be directed to the one in whom there is absolute stability, reliability, and truth. Remember in Hebrews 11, verse 6, why is faith important from that verse? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's immensely important then that we have faith. Now, all of us have faith if we're a Christian, or we wouldn't be a Christian. So all of us at least have mustard seed size faith. We all have that. But God wants that faith to be enhanced, to be enriched. And as we come to know God, as we come to see his characteristics, we come to see that he's a God of compassion, he's a gracious God, he's slow to anger, he's full of loving kindness and truth. When we begin to assimilate these things as we meditate on them and as we study the scriptures to learn more about him, you see, our faith is enriched, our faith is increased, and God is pleased. A second thing that it helps us in is faith is the incentive to claim the promises of God in all situations. Now, we must have faith as we get into various and sundry difficulties, as we face problems. We have to exercise faith. Remember back in the Old Testament, God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. 5 years went by, 10 years went by, 20 years went by, 40, 50. I mean, the years kept piling up and no baby, you see, no son. But what does the New Testament tell us? Overall, even though Abraham and Sarah, they wavered at times, certainly when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to have a child. But God says this of Abraham: he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God that what he had promised, he was able. He was able also to perform. And so as our faith increases, we can tackle anything. We can tackle anything. Because if we know that God has called us to do something, then God is going to give all of the grace, the strength, the wisdom, whatever it is, God will give it. But you won't have the faith. You will stagger. And I can tell you many times I have staggered in my Christian life because I haven't known God as thoroughly and as completely as I should. And I still stagger. How many of us worry? You know, worry is, it's stupid to worry. It's idiotic to worry, because we are safe. We are absolutely safe. And God is focusing all of his eternal resources in our direction and in us, enable us to do anything and everything he wants us to accomplish. So you see, it's really dumb to worry. But I worry. I mean, I wish I could stand up here and say I didn't, but you know, I have to be honest, I do. And then a third application. Faith gives boldness and confidence in our ministry for the Lord. You're going out to serve the Lord. Some of us are serving the Lord right here. Whether in our teaching, in our counseling, in our preaching, or whether it's in our parenting as parents, a faith in God gives us confidence to do it with boldness. Now, I've used this illustration before for some of you, but as you look at me, I'm just a poor country boy, brought up out in the country. And you know, when the Lord called me to preach, I said, "Lord, you know, I can't do that. I just can't do it. Stand up in front of people and talk, Lord, I can't do it." And I still get scared. I'm sweating right now. But I thank the Lord that He has given me a confidence and a boldness. Not in my ability, you see, but it's the power that He has promised to enable us to preach, teach, share, whatever it is. And how I thank the Lord. How I thank the Lord that even this morning as I speak, I know God's working. I know that this message is reaching many of your hearts. Not because I'm such a persuasive speaker, you see. Not because I have a beautiful vocabulary or because I'm homiletically all prepared or hermeneutically and so forth. But I know God's working because God said, "Hap, if you'll ask me to bless you in your message this morning and bless the folks that listen, I will do it." And God is not going to go back on His promise. So you see, it doesn't depend on me. Now, I have to do all I can in preparing. I have to do my part. But then I have to leave the driving to God. You know the Greyhound illustration? So I just hope that the next time you say amen at the end of a prayer, basically what you're affirming is God's faithfulness. I can leave this prayer with God because He said He'd answer it. And we can walk away and say, "Amen. I know God's going to take care of it." Because our God is faithful. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning that You are that kind of a God. Totally reliable. You are the truth. There is no error whatsoever. And Father, we pray today that You will help each of us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of You in order that our faith might increase, in order that our ministries and our lives will be effective and that will accomplish Your will. Oh Lord, we want to thank You again this morning for Your faithfulness and help us to be more bold, to speak and live more confidently because we're resting on Your faithfulness. We pray in the name of Him who has made all this possible for us, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.